Well, it's just another perp walk. This is the news, according to me. Well, good Friday morning to you this morning. It is Friday, September 9th. I guess it's, what is this, September 9th, 2022. Soon approaching with us, of course, Sunday will be September 11th. And as you know, that's a day that is, as they say, will be known to be live in infamy. A day that I will was near and dear to me in terms of the people who were lost and the effect it had on my life at the time. I was an airline pilot on September 11th, 2001, and I happened to be off that day. I was working the day before. I was working on the 10th. I got home that night. Got up as I usually do. I was kind of a news junkie at that time. That was back when being a news junkie just meant you turned on the local news. Turned on like Good Morning America, that kind of stuff. Wasn't a whole lot of internet news stuff at that time. I didn't have cable where I lived, so I didn't have cable news. All I had was regular news. And that morning, I happened to not be listening to the news. I happened to not have the television on. I was just sitting, playing my guitar, and got a call from my wife at work. She said, "You might want to listen to the news," and that's all she said. She basically said, "Just watch the news." So I turned the news on, and then I found out that I was just... the first building had been struck already, and then, of course, that right after I turned the news on, saw the second building being struck. And, of course, the second building was the one that collapsed first. The first building then collapsed as well. And then, of course, within months, weeks, actually, within a short time after that, came all the conspiracy theories and all the wacky, crazy stuff. However, there was, the initial shock and everything that happened there was, we were very upset as a country in the days following that event. And it's a very difficult time in our society, in our country. Of course, this kind of steeled our resolve against this group of people who perpetuated this crime, and it boosted George Bush's popularity. Kind of gave us a purpose as a nation to fight back, to seek some kind of justice and I'll say it, revenge. So we went to war then at that point in Afghanistan. And triggered a lot of events after that. Of course, there was the TSA, there was the Homeland Security, all the things, all these big bureaucratic things that happened afterwards, the Patriot Act. Everybody was all on board with that, even though it was nothing close to being a Patriot Act. Being used against patriots now, which is that was the warning that we got from people who understood what was going on at the time. But I bring all this up because I'm probably not going to have a show on Sunday, and as we come into this weekend, you're going to hear maybe one or two reports, maybe one story, one little documentary on what happened that day. They want this to go down the memory hole. They don't want it to be something that we remember. As far as the powers that be, with Queen Elizabeth II passing, and we have a new king in Europe, not our king. This country doesn't have a king, by the way. That's not the way we operate. That's what people want. People of every culture have always wanted to have a chief, have a king, have somebody who is the final decider. And they want it to be someone who's benevolent. In other words, they want someone who will give them things and make life easy for them. Be on their side. That's what people want. They want a Santa Claus for king. It's been that way for generations upon generations, that people want an earthly king that will leave them alone when they want to be left alone, and give them all good things when they want to, you know, when they want something. That's just the way it is, and that's the way we've tended to think of our presidency as being our supreme leader, so to speak. The leftists who have this idea that government is their god, and that the people in government are somehow the anointed ones, and the hallowed walls and the temple of democracy that is on the hill of some hill in some building in a swamp that was turned into our capital center, in this federal capital building. They want the president to be the dictator, supposedly. You know, that's kind of, I've even heard, you've heard people say, well, I don't mind a dictator if he provides us with health care. That's a good dictator. That's the kind of reasoning these people have. See, they want someone else to provide for them. They don't want to be able to provide for themselves. This is the thing that has always bothered me about leftists and the Marxist attitude, that whole idea that we, you know, to each according to his need, each according to his ability, that whole thing. That people are just somehow going to work hard because that's just their nature, to work hard, and they're going to work hard because they get, you know, they get to share and all things equal. This utopian idea doesn't work that way. There's no incentive in that arena. There's no competitiveness between people, and people find their niche, they find their abilities, they find their, you know, you get assigned abilities. And that's the problem with this idea, is that you are assigned abilities. You're going to be a corn picker. That's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to be. That's your job now. That's what the government's going to tell you to do. And of course, now you're going to get all these, you know, you can apply for a car. You can apply for a car and a home. And at some point when you have worked hard enough, we're going to give you a car and a home. You're going to get this car because you're just a corn picker. Now you're going to be a doctor, and we're going to train you because, you know, because they make the decision. They're the deciders. You can apply for a job through the government, but the government decides that. Now, contrary to popular belief, you know, the early church was communal living. No one called anything their own. If you read scripture properly, you'll see that the early believers, the early church, they gave everything to the apostles, and they called nothing. No one called anything their own. It was the birth of the church, and they brought everything forward. And they all, there was great signs and wonders among them, and they had this whole thing. And people said, well, see, that's the way we're supposed to live. Well, it was all voluntary. And the church did not turn around and tell you how you were supposed to work, how you were, you know, what your job was. They didn't assign you with a job. It was a voluntary communal life. And yes, there's great power in that. But it also, you have to be very careful about who the leaders of that type of thing are. Does it say who the leader was? Now, my Catholic friends would say, yes, Peter was the Pope. I get into this whole thing. But we go back to this whole thing of the communal living. And when I talk to my friends on the left, when they really have a chance to understand, and I think with people on the right would just educate themselves, first of all, come back with this idea that you have to talk to them like 12-year-olds, okay? You have to understand, look, we both want to see people. It's not that we're against people having health care. It's not that we're against people having an education, or having a home, or having being able to afford a car or an iPhone, whatever it is that they want. That's not what it's about at all. We want to see people be able to get health care and to be able to afford a home. The key there is we don't want to have to pay for it for them. We should strive for an economy and a society where everyone can afford these things on their own, that they can provide for themselves. You see, that's the conservative mentality, the constructionist or the founder's idea, is that we would have a society in which everyone can lift themselves up from whatever means that they have. They can, and of course there's a safety net within society. And technically, if you really want to get realistic about it, the way it was intended originally was that the church or that local communities and organizations would be that safety net, that it wouldn't be a government-run safety net, that the communities themselves would run a safety net, and that the church really is the place for that to be. But the church now has become this big monstrosity of a show on Sunday mornings, and we have to have this, million-dollar-a-year budget to keep everything rolling, to have this mega show that keeps people coming in and going out and dropping off their money. And, you need something from the church? Well, you'll have to go downtown and apply for that through the welfare services. We'll do this orphanage over in Africa. We'll have that, and we'll have a big fundraiser here, and we'll feel good about that. But, if you just approach us here on the street, off the street with something that you need, you're just one of those people. We don't just dole out money here. So it becomes this kind of get any kind of help here, you have to be part of a small group, and the small group really should be the one who helps you out, rather than the corporation, the big church, the big part of the church, the mothership. It's not the place where you do that. The small group has to take care of you. And by the way, if you want to be a member here, you have to actually make sure that you're paying your tithe. That's the kind of mentality that we kind of have here now with everything going on with the mega church movement. There's very few of them that really operate on any kind of ecclesia. Early church mentality. They don't have that at all. Now, having said all that, I think that the most important thing to talk about this morning is what's in my cup. The frustration that I have with what's in my cup this morning is that it's just ice. Apparently, my refrigerator here in my room is just a little bit high. It's set a little bit too cool. I put this cup of sweet tea in there, and it's now just one big block of ice. I'm hoping that it melts at some point. So I have nothing this morning. I have nothing. And this is why my voice is sounding kind of rough this morning. And of course, I'm experimenting again this morning. I've got my phone, I got my iPad plugged into my fancy microphone. So I'm doing a little thing here with that, hoping that it works out pretty well. We'll see how it goes. The background noise, I don't know what it's doing with the background noise and that kind of thing, because I know the air conditioner is running. And I haven't even done my morning workout or anything yet, but it's just time was slipping away this morning, and I decided I'm just going to jump in here and do this. So I have one other thing I want to talk about this morning is another perp walk. They're still after Steve Bannon. And the key here is that they get the optics are always a part of it, because this is all part of the political theater. But what the main thing that they're looking for here is that they get that perp walk. They get that photo op, because they need that to make it look like, here we are, people close to the president being arrested. Navarro, all these people that were on the news, that were in part of the administration, we're bringing them down. We're raiding their homes. This is all part of a theatrical narrative that they have to project. These people are criminals, and we're going after them. And of course, there are people on the left. There's about probably 20% of the population thinks that this is a good idea, and probably 70% of the leftist Democrats, the hardcore Democrats that are leftists, are all on board with this. In fact, they don't think that the DOJ is doing enough. Now, if you're paying much attention to the court case that's going on with this whole Trump raid thing, it is amazing to me the way the DOJ is dancing around this issue, trying to get the court to turn away this special master and the ruling that came down from the master oversight master that the is overseeing this case, because that person has now come in and basically put a stay on them looking into any records. Now, I don't know who has the records. Oh, we can't look at these records. We got them sitting here in our room here. We're not allowed to look at them now. Yeah, right. Yeah, tell me that they're not actually looking at them. Of course, they've already gone through everything. You know that they've taken pictures of every single document in that whole thing. They've admitted that they've gone through everything already. So why aren't they returning the things that are not classified? Why are they still holding on to Trump's medical records? Things like that. Why are they holding on to things that aren't? A lot of those things are confidential records of his that they're holding on to. Now, you know that they're still trying to put things together. They've said that they've gone through everything, but then they came back and said that they haven't gone through everything. They still need those records to compile some things. It's a little bit confusing, and it's a little bit weird and unnerving with regard to how they are dancing this thing of, well, the DOJ, we don't need this, we really need access to those records. This is jeopardizing national security and hurting the public because we can't get to those records. The more people that look at those records, the more danger there is to national security. I don't understand how they can sit there and leak photographs. They can leak information out from the DOJ, from the FBI, to specific news organizations that they have connections with. This whole thing goes very deep, and the roots are very the web is very tangled up with news media. You know, when they go to arrest someone at an airport, and just so happens that CNN is there. Things like that. People don't step back and take a look at this commingling of the news media. Well, they're the media. The media. There's people in the media that want to think that they're a branch of the government. The free press. We're the free press. We're the free press. We're mentioned in the Constitution. Free press. Free press doesn't mean that you're just the established media. That's not just establishment media, or that you have some kind of media card that's issued by the government, that you're approved by the government to be a media person. That's not the way the media is supposed to work at all. The press is supposed to be independent and free from entanglements of being partisan, being part of the government, taking orders from them. Which brings up an interesting case right now that I've been hearing about. In the news right now is this lawsuit that apparently some judge has ordered the Biden administration to release documents and emails. Of course, we deleted all that stuff. We changed our phones over to a different carrier, and now we got all that stuff was all lost. We don't have it anymore. That's the way this stuff works, and we know it's going to be that way because they got plenty of warning. That's just their MO. That's the way they always operate. Because the DOJ won't just step in and take their phones away like they do. Certain individuals in Congress just walk up and say, we need your phone. We're taking your phone. We have a warrant for your phone. Unlock it for us. They want my phone. It's like, now you have to unlock it. Well, go fish. You're not going to get it. These people are thugs. These people are mafioso, whatever you want to call them. They're mafiesque-like tactics that they use. It's deplorable. When we talk about deplorables, this is the deplorable actions that these people take. Now, having said that, this case, apparently there's like 50 people in the Biden administration that are under investigation, and the whole gist of this whole case is that it is. A collusion between big tech the media and the White House with regard to the Biden administration, with regard to how they were censoring individuals and talking about misinformation, the whole information media censoring thing, and the manipulation that the administration was doing with all that. Finally, and I don't know if this is just a token. So what they do sometimes is they will do a token investigation or a token lawsuit in order to cover it over and say, well, that was a lawsuit that was settled. There was nothing ever came of that. Much like the investigations that sometimes Congress or the Senate will do. They'll do an investigation. We're doing an investigation, and they have all these people come out, and they'll talk, and they argue back and forth, and the straw man's come out, and all this stuff happens. And then no one ever gets charged, nothing ever happens, unless they find a scapegoat of some kind to take the fall for everything else that everybody above them did that knew what was going on. Some poor guy who was following orders, or some stooge that happened to be motivated to do something, so they used him as the point guy, or the point person, and then that person was the one who was, you know, the one that was dropped into the can of, well, that's they're the fall person. That's they're the person who was made out to be the guilty one in this whole thing. The FBI is popular for this too, as well. But now we still have all these issues of things being leaked, things happening, and of course, if you ask Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, anything about it, well, we can't talk about any personnel issues. And we can't talk about any ongoing investigations or potential investigations. We can't talk about any of that. Everything is a personnel issue with the FBI, and everything is an ongoing or potentially ongoing. Potential means he can't say that it is or isn't. It could be or it could not. It could not be. We can't comment on it because it may or may not be an investigation, so we can't comment on anything. Well, then why are you even here? Why are we even bothering right now talking about all this? I believe, I truly believe, that they think or they know, they're wondering right now about what Trump has on them. I think Trump has information on the DOJ. I think he has information on the FBI. I think he has information on other organizations, three-letter alphabet soup organizations, that have done things that are obviously nefarious, prosecutorial. And I believe that what would have really been funny is if he would have put something in his safe. Something, you know, like a little sign that would have been hanging there saying, you know, something like, you know, I've got you by the, you know. And it would have been classic if that would have been the case. I'm not sure Trump even foresaw them actually raiding his home in that respect, but he probably would have set it up that way. So why were they going through, you know, Melania's closet? Why were they going through Baron Trump's, was he 16 years old now, I think, a teenager's room? What are they doing? This is the perp walk. This is the attempt to make everything seem like this, like he's a criminal. In their minds, they have this guy who's a criminal that they've got to go after. They've got to build this case. Now, Bill Barr has come out again. Of course, I mentioned this yesterday. And he's saying that the powers that be, looks like they're going to have enough technical information to indict Trump. Of course, now the MSNBC and the CNN people, all the legacy media people, they go nuts with that, saying, oh, Barr says that Trump's going to be indicted. And then, of course, Barr also says that it would not be good for the country. I don't really care what Barr thinks, because I don't think that Barr is good for the country. I think Bill Barr, some of the things that happened under his watch, could have been looked at. Of course, then he has the audacity to come out after the actual election and immediately say the election was fair. We don't have any evidence of widespread voter fraud. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again. Well, let's take a look at your records there, Bill. Let's look at the investigation that you did. Let us know what the team is. Who are the people that you put on the team to investigate whether or not there was voter fraud? How many people and how many man hours, how much money was invested, and what's in your budget there for investigating voter fraud there, Bill? Or did you just watch the evening news and then you determined that there was no voter fraud? It takes someone like a Dinesh D'Souza who goes out and actually does journalism and actually does an investigation to find out what's actually going on here. Did you look into the money that was put into voting boxes by certain social media mega millionaire, billionaire people? Did you look into any of that, Bill? No, of course not. That's no. But there's no evidence. There's no reason to, because we don't even have probable cause. Yeah. All right, Bill. That's the way that's going to be. But I digress. We are moving into the weekend. It's a Friday, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat will begin here at sunset today. So I hope you have a peaceful Saturday, Sabbath day, and a peaceful weekend for that matter. Peaceful rest of your life for that matter. Let's just go ahead and go there. I really want to say thank you for those of you who listen and listen to the podcast. I will try to be, after this week, I'll be a little bit less busy. I do have some busy stuff to do next week. It doesn't start, though, until Friday. So actually, most of next week, I'll be able to kind of have a normal life with regard to studio time and being able to do the show and kind of invest in a little bit more in recording some things and being able to play snippets and bits and pieces of things that statements that people made. So I'm hoping to be able to do that, a little bit more of that next week. Had a busy month, however, so it's been kind of a stressful month a little bit in that respect. But there's a lot to do. October, the first part of October will be a little bit stressful, but in the meantime, we'll get everything done. Once again, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for subscribing, sharing the podcast with others, and just for being there, listening, being part of my therapy group, letting me vent, and putting up with that. I do appreciate that. So as we go into the weekend, I just want to say God bless, take care, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. See you on Monday.